Braden Gall with the Cover 2 podcast, Athlon Sports, joining us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. Braden, appreciate the time, as always. College football, we talked recently about the start of spring practice and kind of joking about the headlines that will go in there. Just from the Tennessee standpoint, they've had coaching changes, but both coordinators coming back, Jarrett Garantano back. What might interest you the most about Tennessee over the next few weeks as we start to talk about spring practice, year three for Jeremy Pruitt, all of that put together?
I mean, overarchingly, I think development is number one. I mean, that's the big issue with the previous regime. It wasn't acquiring talent and, you know, winning nine games, all that good stuff. It was about developing players, and that if that all these really talented, good young players continue to get better, that's what makes the football team better. I know it's sort of super obvious, but it's, you know, we joked about the headlines. It's not about, you know, even who's running with the ones. It's not really, I mean, those are some mild indicators, but really it's just about how much better do you get as a football team? How much more mature are you physically, mentally, all that stuff? Because if they had one more year of this stuff, as I've said like a million times, they're going to be able to contend with Georgia and Florida, but you got to do it year after year after year. So do they do it? Do they take advantage of the time off to get work done? And if that happens, you know, I don't think the quarterback situation is a pretty good situation, regardless of what happens. So stand them behind a good offensive line. There's a lot to like about them. They, you know, we talked about Tennessee a lot on the podcast today that just actually hit the airwaves today because of the players and I think the excitement around the program. Whether they're going to be great or mediocre or bad or, you know, 8-4 or whatever, that they are fascinating to watch again. And that's something that Tennessee hasn't really necessarily been for a couple of years.
Well, and you look at the two-headed monster that's Georgia and Florida. You're going to have a new quarterback at Georgia. You have Kyle Trask, who, you know, pretty good last year. You don't know how high his ceiling is. I mean, if Tennessee is truly going to make a move in the East, especially with the other two programs having question marks at that position, if Jarrett Garantano is the guy, you would feel pretty confident about closing some of those gaps that exist, right, in the East?
Yeah, I just think, again, it's about overall talent and ability, and Georgia and Florida just so far ahead of the game right now. And coaching, let's be honest with Dan Mullen, in my opinion, I think they run one of the most impossible offenses to stop. I just think, you know, look at every single quarterback he's ever had and every single offense he's ever run, and they've been at their best with Dan Mullen calling the shots. So I think Florida's a playoff team this year. I'm not sure, you know, can you beat them at home early in the year? Sure. Can you go on the road and beat Georgia late in the year? I don't know. I think you can get Florida at home. I think you can get Oklahoma. And if you get those two, 10-2 is not out of the question. And then you're talking about a top 15 finish, top 12 finish, if not even better. So, again, that's the upside. But that's all about how much work you get done. Going back to my original point, it's about these good, young, talented. But I think Eric Gray is a guy that could be one of the most exciting, most dynamic players. If you talk about just young, exciting talents that's developing in the SEC, you go Jaylen Waddle at Alabama. I mean, he's in that category of guys that you can't wait to see what happens. But how much better can you get, right? Like that's what this offseason is all about for Tennessee football.
We're talking to Braden Gall with Athlon Sports Cover 2 podcast, as well as SiriusXM. And I guess big news in the SEC for the last couple of days would be Scott Cochran leaving Alabama, where he's been the strength coach and a big part of what they've done with Nick Saban, to Georgia, where he's going to be the special teams coordinator. What did you think hearing that news with him going from Alabama to Georgia?
Yeah, I think 2020 is all about finding the particularly, you know, correct amount of outrage for every story that you read. And like, it's a big story, but it's not a huge story. I think it's important. I think he's a meaningful asset for Kirby Smart. I think he's an excellent strength and conditioning coach. I think he's been a huge part of what Alabama's accomplished. But if Nick Saban wanted to keep him, he could have kept him. So what do we make of that? I just think at the end of the day, it's a key piece he lost. That's a big deal. He's lost coaches every single year, made the playoff every single year except for once. I'm not writing the Alabama dynasty is over column. I don't think anyone should. But it is fascinating to watch what Georgia is trying to do and what Kirby's trying to do, which is literally replicate Alabama in Athens. And so far he's been able to do it with recruiting. He's been able to do it with the coaching staff, you know, at three straight division titles. It's hard to argue with the results outside of the one championship, you know, half of football. So it's fascinating to watch. I just, you know, is it going to decide the SEC championship game? I'll still put my money on Alabama right now.
Unless Kirby could go out and find Tua 2.0 and then really copy everything Alabama's done and try to beat them at their own game. Hey, Braden, something big coming up in Nashville this weekend. MLS is making its debut. How in are you on the new football club in Nashville? And then, and give me a stadium update, too, because I had some people from Murfreesboro that were in town, and they were talking about all the things that are going on, and they are super in on the new stadium and everything that's happening.
Yeah, I mean, the team launches, what, in a couple of days, and over 50,000 tickets is what they're trying to shoot for. They've already, I think they hit that number this morning, actually, and they're opening up more sections at the top of the stadium. So, I have no idea what the long-term, first 2 years, let's say, in Nissan Stadium, what the expectations should be for attendance. You can look around the MLS and sort of guess. It's just hard to really know. This would be a great – I mean, this will be a huge moment. Building Bridgestone Arena downtown, it wasn't called that at the time, was a really controversial decision and has completely changed. If you visited Nashville in the last 15 years, it's completely changed the entire city. I mean, it's a city-defining move to build Bridgestone Arena where they did. So, I think this stadium, while contentious, is one of the best public-private deals in the history of any sport in any city in America. And they're basically paying for every penny of it. And so it'll be a beautiful area and a beautiful stadium, and hopefully the team is competitive. John Ingram can certainly put as much money into it as he wants to. So if they want to go spend to be a great team, they should be able to. If they do that, then they can win Nashville and I think win the state and win the region. But you got to be willing to spend, and you got to be willing to put on a good party, because Nashville will leave the party quickly if it's not fun.
Braden Gall is with us. He's in Nashville. And Braden, you asked a question, I think, here in the last couple of days. Who's the biggest pro sports star in the state of Tennessee right now? And said Derrick Henry, and I think I would agree with you. And then who's the favorite to be that guy in the next 2 to 3 years? And you said John Morant with the Grizzlies. And I have to tell you, I saw some of the replies there that gave me a bit of a headache.
And he read some of them to me too, Braden. Yeah.
Yeah. But stood out to you with that conversation that you kind of brought up?
Yeah. Okay, boomers. Listen up. So here's the deal. Listen, basketball players are really popular with young people, and advertisers really want young people to watch. They want to advertise to young people. And I'm sorry, John Morant is a highlight reel every single night. They play an unselfish brand of basketball, which is very unusual in the NBA. They are fun to watch, and they are not great right now, but they are good enough to be relevant. And John Morant, I do ESPN radio work on Saturday nights for, and it's, like, he's a topic that nationally is relevant to people, and that's never happened. Like, that doesn't even happen. Like, it took Derrick Henry 4 years to build that up, and he's one of the most popular college athletes I've ever covered as far as just sort of general appeal. But he's sort of a quieter personality, and he's sort of growing into that stardom. I think this past year we saw that, and I think that's really fun to watch, to see him do that. But, like, you know, being a great Titan has not really brought you a whole lot nationally. John Morant's already on SportsCenter all the time. So, like it or not, I just think Nashville, I've just sort of been begging with Nashville to say, look, like, there's no reason not to enjoy what's going on. They're a piece or two away from being sort of a 4 or 5 seed in the Western Conference pretty routinely if they can keep the core together. So I just think it's a fun team. I've been a Knicks fan my whole life, so I quit immediately upon the drafting of John Morant. I saw him play twice in person here in Nashville in the OVC championship game against another first round pick from Belmont and Dylan Windler. It's just, he's been a star for a while, and I'm surprised that people in Nashville and maybe across the state are not gravitating more towards him, because I think the national media has already caught on to what he's doing. He gets it, man. He totally gets it.
I just hope when he accepts his Rookie of the Year trophy, he thanks Zion's knee, because what we've seen in a limited amount of time this season, Zion is going to change the game, and I am so pumped about it.
I do love watching him. There's no question, and I just love his attitude, his whole personality, just how much he plays with passion, how much he loves the game and his team. I totally agree with all of that. There's only so many jumps in your knees, though, when you're going to be eating beignets every single night. I'm worried about the frame. So yeah. if he drops some weight and thins out and can manage that, then I think he's got a chance to be a freak for many, many years. So I will say there's not many kids that would be hurt the way he was, with as much money at stake as there was for him, and want to travel with the team while doing rehab at Duke. I mean, that's just, he wanted to be on the bench with his teammates, and I love the way he plays the game. So it's hard to argue all that. I still think John Morant's a better basketball player and have a better basketball career. I'm just saying, I think he's going to be the better player. That's all.
Well, both of those guys, if you watch them play, watch Zion, watch Ja, you'll love the way that they play. Sometimes
they play hard and get excited.
Yeah, I'm thinking slow down a little bit as hard as they play.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely agree. Again, like if you loved Bird and Magic and all the basketball from the 90s and 80s, which was spectacular, then you will like the way the Memphis Grizzlies play basketball. They're not great right now, but they're getting better, and they're fun to watch. Give them a chance. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, and better than expected because of Ja, largely. Braden Gall, follow him on Twitter, at Braden Gall. ESPN Radio, as he mentioned, with SiriusXM and the Cover 2 podcast. You can subscribe, download that, keep up with college football during the offseason. Thanks to Cover 2. Braden, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much, and we'll check in with you next week.
Yep, always a pleasure, fellas.